with the best way to start your day. 88.9 Win FM.
Hi, and welcome to the Arts Hour. My name's Samantha Napier, and I'm joined once again by the fabulous Tanya Bird and our incredibly talented producer Nicole as we host The Romance here on Win FM. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. How is everyone?
Still kicking.
Yes, yeah. No coughing, no face masks, so we're all good.
Yeah, we've got good social distance between us, in case anyone was wondering, and we've thoroughly sanitised our workstations, so
we are confident
going in.
We are, and we should acknowledge that we haven't got our guest here that we talked about last week, Ali Sinclair. Mm. She's decided, which is probably more sensible than our decision, to stay at home with her kids and self-isolate. So we'd love to talk to her at another point when we all emerge from our caves.
From the other end.
But so we're here today to talk about all things romance. Tanya has got a great show lined up for us.
Yeah, we'll be chatting about romance tropes, and we also have an interview with Lena Perhichik, I hope I said that right, who is a romance author and also cover designer at Book Coverology. So she had some really interesting insights into how romance covers differ from other genres, and also touched on subgenre expectation, heat level indicators, and what's trending right now. So it was a great chat, and that's coming up soon.
And you'll also be reviewing Colleen Hoover's Regretting You?
Yes, I'll be honest, I've done a few stop-starts of books in the last few weeks. I just haven't been able to finish books, so I thought I'd go back to one I read earlier in the year, which was really, really good.
Oh,
so I'll chat about that later.
Great.
Cool. Well, let's have a song after that awkward pause. maybe we could have Brian McKnight back at one.
It's undeniable that we should be together. It's unbelievable how I used to say that I'd fall never. The basis is need to know. If you don't know just how I feel, then let me show you now that I'm for real. If all things in time, time will.
This is 1FM Community Radio, broadcasting from the Victoria University at Werribee. Ooh, la, la,
la. Welcome back. So we're chatting about romance tropes today. Some listeners may not be familiar with the term. I'm not, and that's pretty embarrassing, seeing I'm a writer. And yet, they likely have certain tropes that you're probably familiar with or don't even realise you're familiar with and are drawn to time and time again. So, Tanya, you're our tropes girl. Give it to us.
All right. So basically, a trope is a plot device that's commonly used in a particular genre to the point where it's recognisable. So, for example, in superhero stories, there's usually a villain who wants to take over the world. It's a very simple example, but you get the gist. Yeah. In romance, there are a lot of tropes, and there's more being created all the time, which is kind of interesting seeing what pops up. So we might just go through, because I could go through pages of them, let's just go through some of the more popular and well-known ones, if that sounds okay.
Yeah, great.
All right, let's begin with my least favourite trope, and that is the love triangle. It's probably one of the most common romance tropes. Three characters are competing for each other's love, and only two will pair off. This trope is good for creating a lot of tension, since the reader wonders who will win the girl or guy at the end and who will be left brokenhearted. A really well-known example of this trope would probably be The Hunger Games by Susan Collins. And I don't know about you, but I was really disappointed at the end when Katniss ended up with Peter instead of Gale. Did you guys read the books or see the movies?
That's a negative for me.
I was a Peter fan.
Oh, what?
I'm really shook.
Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
It's just got real awkward.
Yeah, looks like I'm the adjudicator here because I know nothing about what you're talking about. We can all get along, girls.
So another popular trope is the secret billionaire. And here a billionaire or member of a royal family is tired of their lavish lifestyle, as what happens, and they sneak out of the spotlight in disguise and run into someone who treats them as if they're an ordinary person. So an example would be Naked in Death by Nora Roberts. And I haven't actually read it, but I have heard good things about it if people want to check out that trope.
You were just saying before this is more a trope about your life, where you ran out of your...
Absolutely. So, and you guys have no idea, so... Secretly rich. So next up we have friends to lovers, and usually the hero and heroine are childhood friends, but sometimes they meet later in life and suddenly things start to heat up between them and they start to see each other as a potential love interest. So this trope is popular because we get to see two characters bond with each other as friends first, which allows them to be more open with each other without a physical relationship getting in the way. And as their feelings for one another and the sexual tension build, we can't help but want them to get together. I actually really like this trope when done well, and I find it frustrating, though, when the conflict is driven by miscommunication or misunderstandings that could be fixed with a simple conversation. But funnily enough, I wrote this trope in one of my books, and it was a charity as promise. It was one of my favourite stories to write. And I think some of that frustration was felt by the readers, which was really interesting. But it does feel super rewarding when you read these stories when the couple finally get together.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
Yeah, the stories are often very sweet and very... You know, yeah. Anyway, it's good.
I think we've all probably had a friend that we've got a secret crush on too that may or may not have ended
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Think so back to your high school days.
Yeah.
There's probably one of those friends back there.
All in our closets. Yeah. Beautiful.
Another popular trope is the stuck together situation. And there are plenty of variations of the trope. It's common in romantic comedies, two people trapped in a snowed-in cabin, or forced to work together on a project in the office, or even stuck in an arranged marriage. And however it happens, the trope will trap two characters together in some way. And whether they're sworn enemies or already attracted to one another, in the drama basically happens from that situation. Mm. So The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, she used this trope. But her story is probably better known as An Enemies to Lovers story, which is our next trope that we're going to quickly go through. So Enemies to Lovers is really popular. Mm. So probably thanks to Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. So two people who hate each other, and it's usually for really silly reasons, end up overcoming their differences and ending the story with a declaration of love. And once again, I actually use this trope in one of my books, A Legate's Pledge, and I had a Roman general matched with a Meitei warrior. And the story is set in Rome, when Rome invaded Caledonia, which is now Scotland. And for those that don't know that particular period or war, basically Severus instructed his legions to go out and kill all in their path. So the book was Enemies to Lovers on steroids because it was literally them trying to kill each other. That was a really fun trope to write.
Can I ask you, do you set out knowing that that was the trope you were writing?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to write. I knew the story I wanted to write,
yeah.
And I knew that it was going to be an Enemies to Lovers story, and I was quite excited to write that trope. But yeah, I basically just wanted to tell that story.
And you might touch on this in the next couple of points you make, but have you ever started off writing one trope and it's kind of gone off path?
Oh, yeah, I would say that's happened, especially in my earlier books when I was still learning what tropes were. And I even look back now and I'm thinking, oh, it's a little bit of that, it's a little bit of that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Where are we up to?
Well, what's one of your favourite tropes?
All right. Well, I would have to say Forbidden Love. It's one of the most famous Forbidden Love stories would be Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. And that is a classic example of Forbidden Love. Two characters who aren't allowed to have feelings for each other but can't help but get caught up in a romantic relationship. Some more romantic examples include Stephanie Meyer's Twilight. That's probably one of the biggest well-known ones, you know, the human and the vampire. That's probably not practical. And a series that I'm not sure many people know about is Jessica Hawkins' Something in the Way series, and I really enjoyed that series. I actually was one of those ones that I smashed through the series in like 3 days and did nothing else around the house. I was literally just like turning pages on my phone. And then one of my favourite books of all time also has that trope, and that's The Bronze Horseman by Paulina Simons, which is also another really well-known book that still, I imagine, sells really well. So yeah. Next up we have Second Chance Romance, where two lovers break up and spend sometimes years missing each other and pondering the what-ifs of their previous relationship. Maybe someone is looking for love again after a bad divorce, or a character's fairy tale ending turned out to be a nightmare. I see a lot of small town born heroines going off to the city and returning to their first loves. These are, the ones I've read tend to be quite sort of cute stories. And the character has missed their chance during their first encounter together. And whether it be blind dates or a one-night stand experience basically helps them to believe in love again, which is, you know, kind of nice. And straight away I think of The Notebook when I think of that trope. And another popular one is Soulmates, a story about two characters who are meant to be together at each other's, they're one another's one true love. But any story would be boring if everything was going just fine for the couple, which is why lots of writers drive them apart via really horrible misunderstandings or events. But soulmates always find their way back to one another in these stories, and one could argue that all romance books are soulmate books, but let's not get too philosophical today.
Well, that might diffuse all this.
Yeah.
They're all just soulmate books.
They're all soulmates, end of discussion. And then finally, probably another one worth mentioning is the fake relationship trope. They didn't ask for this. Maybe they're tired of telling everyone they're single, or they have to pretend like they're in love to get through an awkward social situation, or maybe two characters agree to a marriage of convenience in order to get past a law or a friends with benefits situation. But of course, the fake relationship quickly turns into true love. And a well-known example would be To All the Boys I've Loved Before by Jenny Han. So then a few others worth mentioning, I won't go into detail: Accidental Pregnancy, Secret Baby, Amnesia, Best Friend's Sibling, Jilted Bride, Kidnapped, Return to Hometown, which is what I mentioned before with that can be combined with the Second Chance Love Trope.
Yeah.
Second Chance of Love Trope.
Well, just looking at that list, it's like my life. Accidental. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
Kidnapped, Jilted Bride.
Yeah. Kidnapped. Well, I can't think of any that... Is there kidnapped tropes? Where they fall in love with their...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Must have missed
Stockholm Syndrome.
Ah, yes.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't read a lot of...
Kidnapped
tropes.
Well, that's interesting.
But yeah. Are there any there that you think, I wouldn't want to read that?
You know, I like to be quite blissfully ignorant, clearly, and I don't like thinking about tropes. So if I'm reading a book and I like it, I wouldn't even be thinking about what trope it is. But I do remember my husband ruining rom-coms for me. Hi, Gordon. Because he studied screenwriting and we were watching something and he goes, there it is, there's The Run. And I'm like, what? And he goes, in every rom-com there's... So I'm sure you're all more aware of this than I am. But The Run, you know, where the boy runs to the girl or the girl runs to the boy.
The
boy runs to the girl.
Yeah.
And it's... A lot of the time it's in the rain or there's traffic or so you're not quite...
Or they bust into a wedding.
Yeah, like, and so that's ruined. So I'm like this, here it is. There we go. May as well leave the cinema now. So, I like to be blissfully unaware, I think.
Yeah.
I guess when you're looking back on the book, you might go, oh, okay. I can't think Kidnapped might find a bit strange if I was reading it, but... what about you?
A Secret Baby for me. There's always this part in my head that's like, you should have told him you had a baby. Like, there's this judgy mother part of me that's like, I don't care what the circumstances are. You should have told him he had a child.
Yeah. Well.
Having said that, now that I'm thinking about it on air, I may have written that trope. In a very small way.
Confessions of Tanya Bird. Welcome.
I know. There's definitely some, and I find some authors now are actually putting it in their book descriptions. They'll say, an enemy, or even a subtitle as an enemy to lovers story and things like that.
Okay.
And I tend to take notice of that stuff and I'll, because I like the forbidden love and enemies to lovers trope, so I tend to look for those.
Yeah. Well, I guess readers are more savvy too, I think. A lot more literate and aware. Nicole, what's your favourite trope? Kidnapped.
She's learning her job.
Okay. Onto a song.
Kidnapping sounds really interesting. I don't know. I'm confused as to how... Anyway, yeah. I was thinking about this as you were talking, Tanya, and I realized I like quite a bit of tropes, but I also noticed that there were some tropes that I thought I didn't like, but then I could think of a story where I read it and I actually ended up really enjoying it. So I'm wondering if it's more a case of like, for me, there can be a trope, but as long as the story is really unique and executed well, then I would just enjoy it anyway. Like, I remember I didn't really used to enjoy the whole like fake relationship stuff until To All the Boys I Loved Before happened. And then I was like, oh my God, this story is so cute. Like, I really like this now, you know? So I think that kind of converted me to that trope, maybe.
And it's one of those things you hear, like you hear fake relationship trope and you think, well, that's dumb. And then you actually read an experience and you're like, hey, that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so, and you think like, oh, this is so predictable. Of course they're going to end up in a relationship, but then it happens and you get really happy anyway.
Which is why we should set homework for Samantha to go and read a kidnapped trope book. And so she can come back and say to us, you know what? That's really good. Yeah. I'm going to look for more kidnapped tropes.
I think with any trope, it would be the skill of the writer. If you're enjoying the story.
Yeah.
It depends. Like if it was If it was 40 pages of Kidnapped, I might be like this. Ah. But if it's interwoven into the story really well,
yeah,
then
it all comes down to the writing.
And sometimes you're just looking for something easy to read that's familiar.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. But the way they've designed the journey is like, oh, that's kind of interesting. The way they've done that's really different, and I haven't read that before, and it's an easy read. So I don't know that I'm going to still talk about – think about tropes. I can't. And I'll go and see if I can find a Kidnapped book and read it. I'm not going to commit to that, but maybe if some of our listeners want to, maybe they've got a good one they can, tell us about.
Yep. Write into Samantha. She can add it to all her fan mail and flex.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Now, what have we got coming up next?
Should we do a song? Because I feel like we've been talking a very long time.
Yes.
Let's do Throw Your Arms Around Me by Hunters and Collectors.
Oh, I love this.
I will come for you at night time. I will raise you from your sleep. I will kiss you in four places. I'll go running along your street. I will squeeze the life out of you. You will make me laugh and make me cry. We will never forget it. You will make me call your name, and I'll shout it to the blue summer sky. We may never meet again, so shed your skin and let's get started. I met you in high.
smile on your dial, 88.9 Win FM.
Hi, welcome back to the Romance Hour. So we've got every week we've had a, Tanya's been doing a wonderful interview. So this week she had an interview with Lana Perhacek. So do you want to say a little bit about her, or you actually, no, you introduce her in the interview.
Yeah, I'll just dive straight in.
Today we're chatting with Lana Perhacek. Lana is an author, mother and designer from Perth in Western Australia. She has been working in marketing and design for over 20 years, the last quarter of which has been in the book industry. From working in a bookstore to independently publishing, she now spends her time between wrangling the kids, writing paranormal romance and designing book covers for her business, Book Coverology. Welcome to the Romance Hour, Lana.
Thank you for having me, Tanya. It's nice to be here.
I thought we could start by talking about how romance covers are different from other genres and perhaps a little bit about subgenre expectations.
Yeah, so this is definitely something you can definitely go down the rabbit hole in. And I mean, I have been designing covers for a few years and I'm still learning every day. And there's new trends and new little tweaks and quirks that come out when new subgenres and tropes come out. So
absolutely.
Basically, every cover tells a story. You know, it gives the reader a taste of what they've invested in, a teaser of what they're looking at. So if you think about that, you know that the cover has to be true to what's inside the book. So, you know, a book really, really does. You can judge a book by its cover, basically.
People do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I learned the hard way. So I started off, as I mentioned, in design for a commercial design. So when I decided to start writing, it was a hard process. And I really wanted to just design that cover that looked pretty, you know. And I learned the hard way that people picked it up and they didn't know what kind of story they were going to get. So it confused everyone. And over time, I slowly picked up exactly all the tiny nuances that are out there that are hard to just go out when you're learning and pick up. So I guess the difference between romance and other genres is usually you've either got a couple on there because it's about the human connection between two people. There's all sorts of subgenres as well, as we know. So you've got like contemporary, sports romance, paranormal, sci-fi. Usually those subgenres pull from the non-romance genres. So sci-fi, you'll have space in the background behind the couple, or you know, a spaceship and things like that. You've also got another level, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is the heat level. So how exquisite the sexy times in the book, and how sweet is it, or is it nothing at all closed door romance? And then again, we've got different rules for young adults on top of all the other romance stuff. So
yeah, I can imagine. So do you design for all subgenres of romance then?
Yeah, I do. I mean, because I'm in the Romance Writers Australia, I do a lot of romance covers, but I also do non-romance covers occasionally and non-fiction books. And so I am quite well versed in the tiny different nuances of romance, and everything from having you know, the sexier stuff has a naked man, not naked, fully naked, man chest, we call them, from the waist
cover.
Up. Yeah, I mean, but that's a story as old as time. That it hasn't been something new, it's just getting a bit more bolder and a bit more obvious and a bit more, I mean, women kind of aren't afraid to say that's what I want to see in my cover now, so
yeah,
it's a bit more of a choice, a bit more female empowerment.
Yeah. So if you see a man chest cover, what sort of heat level are you expecting then?
So yeah, that's definitely explicit sex scenes, high heat, but it's more on the steamier side. I say if you get really into the erotica side, they go a full reversal and there's no skin on the cover. There's not even a person on the cover. It's usually an object. So you think about the 50 Shades of Grey covers, everyone probably knows those covers and can picture them.
There
was a mask on one of them. I think there might have been handcuffs on another one and a tie, so a man's tie. And unless they were the movie tie-in books where you've got the actual actors on there, it was usually you find those sort of stories have totally, you know, unless you read that genre, you don't know what you're picking up. So
yeah.
I don't really know where that came from, where that came about. I know Amazon has strict rules on how much skin you can show and how suggestive your covers are. So if the seamier romance was already showing as much as they're allowed to with the man chest, there wasn't really anywhere for them to go beyond that.
Yeah.
So they had to do something unique, I guess, that was people could look at it and go, yeah, okay, I know what I'm reading from the blurb and looking at the cover now. It's probably going to lean towards, you know, the erotic side.
You mentioned before about young adults. So what would we expect to see on a young adult romance cover?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, you rarely get any young adult that is super explicit. You won't get the man chest and things like that. But even in terms of a normal romance, it's not often you'll get a couple, you know, embracing. Even that can be a little bit too suggestive, I think, for the YA. So
yeah.
I find it a bit more conceptual, a bit more like the literary fiction where you might have, you know, I think a lot of people expect romance in a young adult book these days. So whether it's romantic elements along there, the covers usually lean more towards the subgenre that they're in. So fantasy YA, you've got Holly Black and you've got the fae books, the fairies, and you've got the leaves and the woods and things like that in the background that will give you an idea that it's a fantasy novel.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's more lean towards that kind of genre that it is, because
yeah.
You know that chances are that the heat and there is no YA erotica, really.
No.
I don't know.
Well, there might be. I'm not sure how well it's
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't think there'll be many parents happy about that.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I, for one, appreciate a good man chest cover, but we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss how covers have evolved over the years and maybe what's trending now.
Win FM Community Radio.
Rock.
romance author and cover designer Lena Perhatic.
I hope I said that right. Yeah.
About book covers. So Lena, how have covers evolved over the years, and what design trends are you seeing popping up right now?
So, I mean, we all know the old Mills and Boons covers. They all started out essentially, you know, essentially the same as they are today. There's a couple on there. You've got your two people in love, you know, and depending on the heat level, it went from a sweet kind of interaction with a couple to something a bit more heavier. And you wouldn't always see them kissing or doing anything like that until later on in the years, where you've got your Fabio covers. And that's when the Manchester started, you know. So
yeah,
the real provocative kind of covers was like a code, if you will, to the women picking up, this is the kind of heat level I'm going to get when I read this romance, compared to another one where they're not doing anything suggestive. So yeah, it's now gone, you know, all the way up to the full naked man chest, and just one man on the cover instead of a man and a woman. That's enough for girls these days.
It's interesting looking at subgenres, like you mentioned sports romance before, and there's often just that little clue. So you still got your, you know, your man chest there, but it might be, you know, a basketball slung under one arm, or little indicator.
Yeah, so there's basically two levels, I guess. You've got your genre, and then you've got your heat level on top of it. So you kind of got to merge the two of them in a way that still tells that, you know, the reader, this is the kind of story you're going to get, and be authentic and not make them, you know, upset if they pick up the book and get to the inside, knowing that you're selling a different kind of story. Because there's nothing like a reader picking up your book thinking it's going to be sweet and finding that there's, you know, explicit scenes, and that's not the kind of book they read. They will get very angry, and they will leave plenty of reviews.
Yes, and yeah, that was actually my experience with my first book.
Yeah,
it was a very sweet cover, and once I started getting reviews, I said, well, I think I might have to bring some dark elements into the cover to represent the book. So that is very sound advice.
And just like you've got the dark stuff, this is a trend I might as well hit on, is the rom-com. You've got the illustration, which is making a big comeback in a big way, I think, at the moment. There's a lot of turmoil and uncertainty in the world, and people would just want to pick up a light, funny book that isn't too heavy. So the cute illustrations are definitely hitting the mark at the moment.
Yeah, I see lots of those around. I'm trying to think of the last book. Was it The Hating Game?
Yeah, with Sally Thorns. Yeah, so
that was a very cute cover.
It was, and you notice that, I don't know, if you go through her reviews, because she did have quite explicit scenes, but she's a big author, so she kind of got away with it. There were some people that weren't happy that it was so explicit based on the cover, you know? So, but at the same time, she's Sally Thorne, she's sold a bucket load, and it worked for her. And she, you know, she's kind of paving the way for new authors now to do those kind of illustration covers, even if they've got, you know, more explicit themes in there.
Absolutely, and it might get a bit confusing if we start having Manchester cartoon characters on
And they kind of stayed away from that, so you as a reader, you've really got to, you know, keep an open mind and check the reviews to get a better understanding sometimes.
Absolutely.
It can be quite confusing, I guess. I don't know what's going to come out there, if they're going to stick with the same sort of illustration cover, or
time
will tell.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see what pops up in the future. Do you want to let listeners know where they can find out more about your books? And I know that you're booked out for a long time with your cover designs, but maybe a website if they want to check out your work.
Yeah, so I mean, I am booked out for a little while, but if you wanted to have a sneak peek, it is Book Coverology. It's spelled the way you say it, bookcoverology.com. And my fiction paranormal romance is is my name, Lana Perhurchik, which I don't know if you're going to have to spell it out, wouldn't I? if you Google it, I find if you Google Lana P-E, it just kind of comes up on Amazon.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today. It's been really fun.
Thanks, Sanya.
I'm at a party I don't want to be at, and I don't ever wear a suit and tie. I'm wondering if I can sneak out the back. Nobody's even looking me in my eyes. Can you take my hand, finish my drink, say, shall we dance? Hell yeah. You know I love you, did I ever tell you? You make it better like that. Don't think I fit in at this party. Everyone's got so much to say. Party we don't wanna be at. Turn the top but we can't hear ourselves. Speechless, I'd rather kiss them right back. But all these people all around are crippled with anxiety. But I'm told it's where we're supposed to be. You know what? It's kinda crazy cause I really don't mind. Can you make it better like that? Don't think we fit in at this party. Everyone's got so much to say. Oh yeah. I don't care. It's like you're the only one here. I don't like nobody but you, baby. I don't care. I don't like nobody but you. I hate everyone here. I don't like nobody but you, baby. Yeah, cause I don't care.
Smile on your dial, 88.9 Win FM.
Welcome back to the Arts Hour here with Romance Hour. There's so many hours. We're only here for an hour.
We did this last week as
we
well.
We did too. That was a great interview with Lana.
Yeah, who I'm pretty sure I called Lena through the whole interview. So sorry about that, Lana.
You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes. It's amazing though how obviously skilled she is. You know, she's a writer but also a cover designer.
Yeah.
Those little insights she gave us in that interview.
Yeah. Yeah. She was saying after the interview that graphic, like art stuff has always been her first love. But she's obviously got the writing bug now, which is, yeah, it's just really cool because she's written some very exciting paranormal stuff and it's doing really well.
Oh, excellent. Well, talking about books, we've got you reviewing Colleen Hoover's Regretting You.
Yes. So as I mentioned before, I read this, it actually came out in December, I think, this book, and I think I read it in Jan. So it's a young adult romance, and though Hoover writes, she writes with such maturity and wisdom and humour and depth, which sounds really cliche, but it really does make it appeal, her writing appeal to a much broader sort of contemporary audience, as opposed to just being in the YA box. It's a dual perspective story, but it's not hero and heroine. It's actually mother and daughter, and they each have their own arc and their own beautiful love story, which is really nice. So Morgan is 17 when she gives birth to her daughter, Clara. She and her then boyfriend, Chris, marry when they find out she's pregnant. And of course, Morgan's life goes in a very different direction than she imagined it would. She really wanted to finish college and get a job, but doesn't regret the years that she spent taking care of Clara. So 16 years later is basically when the majority of the story happens, and she's thinking about sort of what's next for her in her life. And then tragedy strikes, and I don't want to give too much away, but it basically upends both Morgan and Clara's lives in a big way. So Morgan has to really think about what's next for her at that point. And then add to that, Clara seems destined to follow in her footsteps and potentially repeat her mistakes. So, there's lots of layers to this story. It was really, really interesting. And Clara tests her in every way, a teenage daughter tests their mother. And Morgan is trying desperately to protect her from past truths that might destroy her. So the question becomes, should Morgan sacrifice her relationship with her daughter to protect her from those truths? So Morgan and Clara are both so different, but the way they weave together is flawless in this story. Hoover also writes more than just a simple boy meets girl romance. I'd argue that the primary relationship is actually Morgan and Clara in this book, but obviously the romance is very, very strong. So Regretting You is a story with rich character development, strong emotions, and situations that could happen to real people, though you would hope that it wouldn't. You can expect equal parts laughter and tears with this one. I highly recommend it for YA and contemporary readers.
Great. I'll have to look out for that. Put that on our, well, now that the libraries are closed, maybe not that, but I can maybe buy it.
You could get into ebooks. That's my big thing. I'm gonna sell you to the dark side.
Okay.
So easy. Just on your iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get you addicted.
Then I can get into your series.
Yes. No pressure, but
yeah. Here's a link, buy now. Beautiful. That's a great review. Nicole, have you got anything? Remember, we said we need 3 reviews by next week. And go.
Oh, you totally did. I forgot.
You were going to read Sam's book, weren't you?
Just go. Oh, was it.
We'll have to play the tape back so I can remember what I said. Yeah. Oh, no.
No. Well, we've got what song have we got now? Pretty much to take us out, but we'll come back.
Yep, so we've got Mariah Carey's Without You.
Aww.
Oh, bit of Mariah.
No, I can't forget the scene, nor your face as you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story. I
88.9 Win FM, helping you get through the day.
Oh, welcome back to the Romance Hour, which is part of the Arts Hour.
Yeah.
Here on Win FM.
Well done.
Well, that is our time up for today. Tanya, you put a great show together. I showed up. Cole did the board. Well done. So a good and big thank you to all. Now, we don't know if this station's going to remain open because it's part of Victoria University. So if that shuts down, as a lot of things might do, we may or may not be back next week. Mm. But we hope you've enjoyed our little time here. We're going to try and do some more episodes because we've had such fun, and we're going to drag Nicole out of bed, which she's just so looking forward to.
She's just waking up and we're wrapping up.
Have a great week. Is there anything you wanted to say?
No, I think we might be back in a few weeks depending on how things go down over the next coming week. I hope everyone stays well and safe and sane, especially those at home with kids.
Relate. Hashtag relate. And Nicole, as a person without kids, how will you spend this time? Come on, tell us how we could, our lives could have been.
Well, I mean, I'm with my parents and
nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks again, and we're going to go out with
Alanis Morissette's Head Over Feet.
Beautiful. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Your party station, 88.9 Win FM.
I had no choice but to hear you. You stated your case, diamond again. I thought about it. You treat me like I'm a princess. To surprised if I love you for all that you are.
Rogers died at home in Georgia of natural causes, according to his representative. The performer with the husky voice and silver beard sold tens of millions of records, won 3 Grammys, and was the star of TV movies based on The Gambler. In 2015, he told the AP about his crossover music. I could never be better than Johnny Cash or Willie or Waylon at what they did, so I found something that I could do that didn't invite comparison to them. And I think people thought it was my desire to change country music, but that was never my issue. I'm Julie Walker.